I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. God is good, and all the time. Good evening, everyone. Did you have a good day today? Very nice temperature, very nice weather. We thank God for that. Say that again. Oh, my day was fine. My day was fine. God bless you for asking. I had no complaints whatsoever. I enjoyed the lovely, lovely weather. I had to run down to town briefly, but most of the time was spent meditating, asking God, what should I say and how should I say it? And I prayed for you. So I'm happy to be here, and I really thank God for this high honor of speaking for Him. And I'll try to do the very best I can to honor God through Thus Saith the Lord. Our subject for this evening, partners in crime. What did I say? Partners in crime. I hope you've never had that experience in your own life. But it is partners in, I have had it when I was a little boy, but don't tell anyone. Partners in crime. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you again as we came last night and the night before. We come because we have nowhere else to go but to you. We ask in the name of Jesus, forgive our sins, dear God. Do this first, do it quickly, and do it efficiently by washing us in the blood of your Son, which means covering us in his life. Father in heaven, we recommit our lives to you now, and we open our minds and our hearts to receive the words of truth. Your Son prayed to you 2,000 years ago, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Give me the words of truth, dear God, that what I say may be what you would say if you were standing here in physical form. Father in heaven, bless all those online. We're grateful for their consistent attendance. Touch them, Father, in very particular ways. Be merciful to the sick. Remove COVID-19 from anyone who has contracted that condition, God. Please do that as an act of mercy. Ease the pain and the suffering of those who are listening to your word. Father in heaven, bless all the governments represented by the listening audience. A special blessing on our guests who are not Seventh-day Adventists. We're delighted to have them in person and online, dear God. Remember the little boys and little girls who are watching. Speak to them. Because Christ, as a little boy, he understood the scriptures. And Paul said that Timothy, as a child, understood the scriptures. That can be the case for our little ones today. Father, hear this humble prayer. Use me now, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, we'll read a passage we looked at, I believe, last night or the night before. Revelation chapter 20. We'll read from verse 12, our subject, partners in crime. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. Read 14 with me. And death and hell were cast where? Into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, or the absolute end of death and hell, because there is no coming back from the second death. The only person who ever did that was Christ. Are you with me? Alright, now, verse 15 says what? And whosoever was not found written where? In the book of life, finish the verse, was cast into the lake of fire. Concentrate on those words in verse 15 of Revelation 20. And whosoever, regardless of education or lack thereof, wealth or poverty, regardless of a person's status, condition, holdings, wealth, whatever, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Which means it's essential that we have our names in the book of life. Can you say amen? And we talked about that, was it last night or the night before? Now, having said that, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, go with me to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. We read from verse 1. Our subject, partners in crime. Before we read Revelation 13:1, let's read Revelation 12:17. Because they follow. Are you in Revelation 12:17? The Bible says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman. Who is the dragon? Satan. Look at verse 9 of Revelation 12. And the great dragon was cast out. That old? Called the devil and Satan. The dragon is Satan. The dragon also represented pagan Rome, by the way, because the dragon tried to kill the child that the woman brought forth, which was Christ, the devil working through pagan Rome. All right. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, not the women. Because there are many women in Revelation. There are only two kinds. Am I coming across clearly? There are only two kinds of women in Revelation, but there are many women in Revelation. Let's take a look at that before we continue Revelation 12:17. Let's go to Revelation 17, verse 5. Well, let's read 4 and 5. Our subject, partners in crime. You have Revelation 17, from verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple, water, and scarlet color, and decked with gold, come on, precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, what? Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Babylon is the mother of harlots. And each harlot is just an expression of the mother harlot, a false church. A false church is not a church that doesn't exist. A false church is one that does not function by the word of God. Are you following me?
Yes.
And that refusal to function can be isolated in the church's attitude to the law of God. And so Babylon has many daughters, harlots. So there are many, many women in Revelation. Only two kinds. One true and false. Now, listen to Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth, come on, with the woman, with one of the many women in Revelation. Who is this woman? Which keep the commandments of God and have what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war. Now, Satan has always been opposed to God's people. But this is a heightened form of war. This is stepped up war. He will now use nuclear weapons. Are you following me?
Yes.
Conventional weapons weren't working. In modern warfare, nuclear weapons are forbidden. So people use conventional weapons to accomplish the same thing, which is take life. The devil had used conventional weapons for hundreds of years. Now he ups his game of hostility and he's switching to nuclear weapons now. And so when you read Revelation 12:17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, he went to me. So he's about to make a different kind of war. Now he's about to get with him his partners in crime. And we're looking at the first one in Revelation 13 verse 1. Are you there now? Do you see the connection? He's going to get his associates to wage this nuclear war against the people of God. And let me pray again. Father, continue to be with me because the enemy is not happy. Please speak through me, I pray, and give me enlightenment and your people. In Jesus' name, amen. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. We know in prophecy, waters represent many people. Now, you're aware of that. Revelation 17, verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So waters represent many, many people. The earth represents sometimes a barren, sparsely populated place. Now, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven horns, seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns, meaning kingdoms, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Pause. That animal that John saw looks like what? First. No? The beast which I saw was like unto a, and his feet was the feet of a, and his mouth is the mouth of a. So what is the order of the animals? Leopard, come on, leopard, bear, lion. In Daniel 7, go there with me. Daniel 7. You read from verse 1. Our subject, partners in crime. You have Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream of visions of his head upon his bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. The great sea is the Mediterranean. Daniel is seeing events in what is called the world of the Bible. And the world of the Bible, as I told you a few nights ago, simply refers to those areas several hundred miles north, south, east of the Mediterranean Sea. If you go west, you're in the Atlantic Ocean, and they did not know what was in that area back then. Are you following me? That came to light in the 15th century. All right. The four winds of the heaven, what are winds? They represent strife and commotion. Let me give you a clue to that. Go to Revelation 6. I'll be taking you back and forth, so please, hope you don't mind, as I like to say, hitchhiking through the Bible. You have Revelation 6. We read in the sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, verse 12, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became dark as sackcloth, black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And so we talked about the darkening of the sun, 1780, the great earthquake, 1755, the falling of the stars, 1833. We talked about that. Was it last night? I believe it was. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. That has not yet happened. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That has not yet happened, but it is not far off. Those are events that will occur just before Jesus comes, when the earth is in turmoil. Now verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves where? In the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of whom? Him that sitteth where? And from the wrath of the? Finish that last verse for me. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? It's the great day of his wrath. And we have some details. The mountains falling, the islands moving. Literally this will happen. Sometimes when volcanoes explode, the whole top is removed. Now in chapter 7, we read from verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. In other words, God is holding back all that stuff in chapter 6. Are you following me? Until he puts a seal on his people. Let me say it differently. Until his people allow him. Are you with me? Because it can't be forced on us. To put the seal is not a mark. It is a total surrender to the will of God. And that internal surrender is expressed by external obedience. Ah, you didn't get what I just said. Out of the abundance of the heart, something comes out. This tot, as Ellen White calls it, it is a settling into the truth from which no one can move you. But how do I know you've settled into the truth? Your faithfulness to God's law. And of the 10, the one that is most challenging in the last days or any day is the fourth. That's why it's the seal. So God is holding back the winds of commotion and strife and upheaval until this work is done. And this series of meeting is part of that, by opening people's eyes. Let's go back now to Daniel 7. And behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. We know the sea is many people. The winds strife. So there is strife among the people in that time of the Bible world. Commotion, military conflict, social upheaval, people displaced, all of that. And Daniel sees one coming up. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. We first see the lion. But in Revelation 13, what's the last animal we see? The lion. Okay, verse 5. Daniel 7. And behold, another beast, like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. In Daniel's vision, he sees the lion, that's Babylon. He sees the bear, that's Medo-Persia. Verse 6. And behold, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it, four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. That's what he sees in verse 6. So we have lion, bear, leopard. In Revelation, we have leopard, bear, lion. Daniel is seeing history as it unfolds. Are you with me? So Babylon first, Medo-Persia second, then Greece. John is looking back. So he has to see Greece, Medo-Persia, then Babylon. Are you following me? Are you sure? All right. Let's speak now in Revelation 13 for a while. And the beast which I saw was like unto leopard, and his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we have all four beasts, really. But what I want you to look at in this beast that came out of the sea, it has all the components of the other three beasts. Did you get what I said? Let me say it differently. This beast of Revelation 13, 1 and 2, or 1 to 3, well, 1 to 10, he has some of Babylon in him. He has some Medo-Persia practices in him. He has some Grecian practices in him, and the Roman pagan practices. Which is why that beast was so different from any other beast. That's the beast we're seeing in Revelation 13. Let's go back to Daniel 7. Let's see something interesting. As we look at this beast we're seeing in Revelation 13, our subject partners in crime. Remember, the devil is calling his first partner in crime. Are you following me? This is this beast. The devil is about to start nuclear war. This is his first partner. He has a second one in Revelation 13, 11 through 18. Revelation 7, verse 7. And I saw in the night vision. Well, let me pray again. Father, as I continue, please, Father, speak directly to me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel 7, yes, verse 7. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now you see the word diverse? You see diverse there? What does that mean? Different. It was different from the lion, the leopard, the bear, and the leopard. Even though a lion has two wings, you still recognize a lion. I have seen a snake with two heads, but I still knew it was a snake in the Los Angeles Zoo. Are you following me? Well, there are people, because of problems that go on in childbirth, one person with two heads. Have you ever seen that? And it's a very sad situation. Two girls living in one body. I've seen that. You probably have seen it. But you still recognize a human being. The bear, raised up on one side, three ribs in its mouth, because it had devoured Babylon, you see. So part of Babylon is in its mouth, the three ribs, representing three kingdoms it conquered. The leopard, it has four heads, yes, four wings, but we still see a leopard. And it moves fast. This fourth beast, which first is pagan Rome, which morphs into papal Rome, no one had ever seen. It was diverse from all the others. That's verse 7 of Revelation 7. Now, let's go to verse 8. Not Revelation 7, tell me. Daniel 7. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horn plucked up by the root. And behold, in this horn were eyes as the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, this beast is also diverse, but let's find out about him in verse 19. Very different. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Read with me now. Which word? Diverse from all the others. This partner in crime is a system the world had never seen. Go to verse 23 of Daniel 7. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. Keep reading now. Which shall be what? Diverse from all kingdoms. There has never been a kingdom like this. Now, it's a kingdom. It's religious and it's civil. It's led by one man. Religious and civil. Now we go back to Revelation 13. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. 13:3. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them or prevail against them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, read verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth, come on, shall worship him, keep reading, whose names are not written where? In the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What did we read in Revelation 20 verse 15? Well, go back there and check. What did we read in Revelation 20 verse 15? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, finish the verse, was cast into the lake of fire. Now we read in verse 8, Revelation 13, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names were not written in the book of life. Which means everyone that worships this beast will end up in the lake of fire. Have mercy indeed, but when that happens, there will be no mercy. Let's see how horrible it is, how the Bible describes what will happen to those who worship this beast. Go to Revelation 14. Let's read from verse 9. Everyone that follows that beast will end up in the lake of fire. And there is a literal lake of fire. Now the Bible has some things that are very frightening, but they are part of the Bible. We always want the nice things. But we need to understand there is a side of the Bible. You see, the Bible tells us that Abraham had an affair with a woman. The Bible tells us that. It tells us what David did. It tells us what Solomon did. It exposes to some degree the dark side of the Bible heroes. And we learn from that, even the strongest heroes can slip. But there's grace that abounds more than sin abounds. Where did I tell you to go? Revelation 14, let's read from verse 9. Are you there? And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, meaning the little horn in Daniel 7, that's the same beast. The beast of Revelation 13, and the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians 2, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the same little horn of Daniel 7, the beast of Revelation 13, the man of sin of 2 Thessalonians 2. If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. Wait a minute. The Bible says in Micah 7:18, God delighteth in mercy. Psalm 103 verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He loves to give mercy. He loves to give a break. The Bible says there's coming a time when God will pour out his wrath on people who have conducted themselves in a way that is so disgusting to him, he will pour out his wrath without mercy. You must understand what that is. What can make God so angry that he destroys without mercy? If any man worship the beast and his image. Now, when you read the word worship, it doesn't mean just recognize. Jesus recognized Caesar. He didn't worship him. I didn't say that clearly. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 20:25. And Jesus said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Romans 13 verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You ought to recognize Biden. Respect him. If it was Trump, respect him. If the next person is, I don't know, my brother right there, respect him. Because leaders are allowed by God or disallowed. Daniel 2:21, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. And so we respect those in the power because power originally comes from God. We don't have to do what they say. Jesus acknowledged Caesar as a Roman leader. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Christ recognized the priest still had authority. Only a priest could finally declare a leper clean. Are you with me? Only the priest. Jesus, even though he was God, in his humanity, he still respected the Jewish system insofar as it did not compromise the work of his Father in him. And he told the lepers, go and show yourselves to the priests. Let them declare you to be clean. Why am I saying all of this? We know that this beast is the papal system. What did I say? The papal system. Not the members that sit in the pews every Sunday. Most of them have no clue. Are you with me? Absolutely none. When I was one of them, I had no clue. When I prayed to images, I had no clue. When I went to the priest to confess my sins, I had no clue. When I used the rosary to do my penance, I had no clue. That's why light is truth. This beast is the papal system. A system that has tried to change God's law, tried to change times, set up a system that replaces Christ effectively. A system that regards itself as God, very God on this earth, speaking blasphemous words. God on the earth, I can forgive sins. Sacraments are the only way to come to God. A system that sets up a woman as an assistant savior, the woman is Mary. A system that allows you to pray to dead people and call them saints, and they can intercede for you. A system that set up something that's not in the Bible called purgatory, where people go and whatever, they're fixed up a little bit and then they can go to heaven. A system that says when you take communion, the blood becomes the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says don't drink blood. That's the system, a system called the Antichrist. An Antichrist doesn't mean necessarily against Christ, it means instead of Christ. Let me tell you something. It's harsh, but I have to say it. A true Catholic does not need Jesus. A true Catholic does not need Jesus. If he has the priest and the sacraments, that's all he or she needs. And the Pope. According to them. And again, I'm talking about the system, not the average member sitting in a pew. Someone listening to me is already offended. I cannot avoid that. A genuine Catholic who understands what the Church teaches does not need Jesus. The Bible says, those who follow that system will experience the harshest display of God's wrath that the Bible describes. If any man worship the beast and his image, worship is to obey, to follow, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hands, and the mark of the beast is evidently Sunday as a holy day, and that day is coming. It will become a legal holiday. Sunday is a Sabbath. Any man who accepts that mark in the forehead, I think it, in the hand, I behave according to it, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We go from that to a different group. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Let me say it again. This text does not target individual people in the church right now. Because as I said, they don't know. I didn't know. And I thank God the light came to me. It targets a system, but ultimately, with the presentation of light, when the loud cry goes forth, when the third angel's message is empowered by the latter rain, people will begin to see what's happening. And when that Sunday law is passed, and it becomes legal, and people choose that law above God's law, that's when we have the mark of the beast. No one has it now. Is that clear? No one has it now because there is no worldwide law requiring that day as a legal day of worship. But that's coming. And as unpleasant as this is, you need to understand the devil's chief assistant in his nuclear war on truth is a religious system. No wonder when John saw the woman in Revelation 17, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, how can this religious organization kill so many people? And so he wondered. I can understand the mafia or whomever, but a church? The history of the Catholic Church is a history of killing those who do not follow their teachings. The history of that church is a history of the Bible being banned and harsh penalties for anyone who read the Bible. The Bible was officially on a list of banned books. For many years, service was conducted in a language almost no one understood. And when God raised people up to translate it into the common language, those people were persecuted mercilessly. The Bible says anyone who worships that system, obeys, will be the recipients of God's fiercest and harshest judgments. And otherwise says, Revelation 9 through 11 represents the most fearful warning ever sent by God to man. Satan has a religious system as one of his partners in crime. We go to Revelation 13 again. Let's go to verse 11. Revelation 13, reading from verse 11. Let me pray again. Father, it's 7:42. My time is slipping, but I ask you to speak through me in the few minutes I have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake. Come on. Like a dragon. The lamb represents whom? Generally speaking in the Bible, Jesus. Mild, safe, non-violent, takes abuse, that's a lamb. The dragon is the very opposite. It devours. It is voracious. It is violent. this beast that comes up out of the earth now, the first beast in verse 1 of Revelation 13 came out of what? The sea. What does the sea represent? A lot of people. What does the earth represent? A place where very few people live compared to the sea. Not that no one lives, but comparatively speaking, it is very sparsely populated. There's a country I love very much called Namibia in the southwestern part of Africa. It is the second most sparsely populated place on earth, country. Only Mongolia is more sparsely populated. Now, if you compare Namibia to China, are you with me when it comes to people? Or India? Or Indonesia? It's like day and night. Are you following me? China is heavily populated compared to China. Namibia has nothing. I mean, with respect to people, there's vast empty spaces. When the Bible says the second beast comes out of the earth, it doesn't mean no one lived there, but very few people compared to the millions represented by the seas of Daniel chapter 7, verse 3. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Now, before him does not mean chronologically. It means in the very presence. In other words, they are now existing how? Give me the word. T-O-G-E together. They're running how? Concurrently. Are you following me? He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now we know from verse 3, the beast suffered a wound, which was deadly, and it came back. Referring to the abolition of the papacy in 1798 by the French government. When I say abolition, the Pope was captured, he died in captivity, for a while there was no Pope. But for the beast to be the beast, it must have civil and religious. That's what makes it so diverse. It must have power that's religious and civil. That only resumed in 1929 when Mussolini, one of his representatives, signed an agreement with a Catholic representative restoring the lands. But the condition was the church had to support Mussolini. Since then until now, the world has wandered after this power. The second power, the one from verse 11 to 18, exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, I'll get into that perhaps tomorrow, Friday. That beast with two horns looks like a lamb and speaks like a dragon is the United States. Bible prophecy tells us that of all countries on earth, the United States will be most supportive of the papal system to the point of establishing a forced religion. And he causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And that's the papal system. And the United States will stretch its hand in hand with the papal system, and will create an environment in which people are forced to worship this system. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceiveth them, verse 14, that dwell on the earth by reason of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, this country will encourage the papal system, or will set up a system just like the papal system. Verse 15, and he had power to give life to the image of the beast. So we have the beast and we have the image. The image is set up here first. Are you following? It's set up here. When you think of the beast and an image, what does that tell you? How does the beast look? How does the image look? How does the image look? When the policeman pulls you over, what does he ask for? Two things. Driver's license. What is he looking for? Your picture. He looks at the picture, he looks at you. What does he want to see? You look alike. You look alike. So if you give him your license and it's your wife's license, he sees a woman, there's a problem. Are you following me? The image of the beast looks like the beast and functions like the beast. It is set up by this country. Now read verse 15. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. How does a nation speak? By its laws. Laws will be established in this country. And cause. What does cause mean? Force. That as many as would not worship the image of the beast, you finish the verse, you have more courage than I, should be killed. Partners in crime. The dragon has two partners. The papal system and the United States. The United States is referred to as apostate Protestantism. The dragon represents spiritualism, you know, talking to the dead, witch doctors and witches and whatever else, and reading bones and reading your horoscope, all of that stuff. Yes, reading your horoscope. I said reading your horoscope. Don't do it. It may look insignificant. That's all the devil may need to get you moving in the wrong direction. Don't do it. As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:15. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and to do what? To receive a mark where? Right hand or in the forehead. Now read 17 and reflect on modern situation in this United States. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, come on, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. There's coming a time in this country when no one will be able to buy, sell, trade, whatever, unless the person can demonstrate that he or she is faithful to the beast system or the image of the beast. It sounds like fantasy because the United States is known worldwide as the champion of what? Freedom. Religious freedom. Why did the pilgrims come over? Religious freedom. That's why it looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. Who betrayed Christ? Judas. Was he close to Christ? Yes. The Bible says he was. In the sense that Psalm 41 verse 9, my own familiar friend who has eaten with me, with whom I fellowshipped, hath lifted up his heel against me. The Bible predicted someone close to Christ would turn on him. Ellen White says, the United States is the most blessed country the sun has ever shone upon. God's blessings. It will turn and betray God. As verily as Judas did. It has been a lamb for a long time. Occasionally has spoken like a dragon. If you don't believe me, ask Japanese Americans in World War II. If you don't believe me, you can ask all kinds of some nations, some countries about how we have spoken with a dragon, but generally it has been two horns of a lamb. But it will speak with the voice of a dragon, and spiritually it will set up a system of enforced worship with restrictions on religious liberty. Can't do as you please, unless you want to undertake severe punishment. Satan got two partners in crime. The papal system and the United States. And Revelation 16:13 refers to them as, and I see three, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. The dragon, Satan, the beast, papal system, false prophet, the United States. Put it more precisely, the beast, the dragon, spiritualism. The false prophet, a fake kind of revivalism, a fake kind of Pentecostalism, a fake kind of Holy Spirit. And the beast, a replacement for Christ. Three messages. Revelation 14, we have three angels. One, fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of his judgment is come. Two, Babylon is fallen. Three, if any man worship the beast. God has three messages, three messengers. The enemy has three. They come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and they're like frogs. Frogs are known for using their tongues to catch whatever they catch. My brothers and sisters, it's 7:53. I've said a lot. Your head is probably spinning. But I want you to think of what you've heard. Let me sum up in 1 minute. Satan went to make war with the remnant of the seed. We are the remnant, shall I say, these last days. And the last days began biblically in 1798. That's not that far away in God's eyesight. Are you with me? Because 1,000 years in his sight are like what? A day. And so the end times began in 1798. The end of time began in 1844. And I hope I don't have to get into that. But the last days, the end times began in 1798. Now, the dragon is targeting the woman who keeps the commandments of God and has the testimony of Jesus Christ and also the faith of Christ. Let me remind you, he targets one woman. He does not target the other women. Because to all intents and purposes, they are the same. I preached a sermon once, and I entitled it, and I'll offend somebody, Mormon plus Baptist equals Presbyterian. Because it doesn't make a difference. Because the unifying point of error is Sunday worship. Are you with me? And I have to hit that. The unifying point of error is Sunday worship. Which is the challenge to God's law. Which behind all of this, the devil's aim is overthrow the law of God. Because how do we show worship and love for God? We obey Him. And so the devil's partners in crime, the papal system, as harsh as it is, I must say, and these United States, you have to make a decision, my friends, and it ought to be made every day. I will obey God rather than man. I will obey God and practice that in little things. Don't wait until the crisis hits. If you and I have not been practicing faithfulness in little things, we will collapse when the big thing comes. That's why Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is, come on, talk to me, if it is least, finish the verse, is faithful also in much. We must practice faithfulness to thus saith the Lord in the little things of our lives. So when the crisis hits, we will have a track record of doing what's right in the sight of God, because most of the events in our lives are little things. The big things come once in a while. The little things are opportunities for us to practice doing what's right. Remember we read last night, Isaiah 1 verse 17, learn to do well. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, teaching how to do what's right. It's not just feeling right. People must be taught how to do what's right. And so God's word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. And God told Isaiah, tell his people, learn to do well. It is a learning process. Learn to be righteous in the classroom. Learn to be righteous on the job. Learn to be righteous in the church. Learn to be righteous in the community. Instruction in righteousness. But to follow a man-made system is instruction in false worship and instruction in disrespect for God. My friends online in this building, how many of you will say, Father, regardless of cost, help me to serve you and you alone. Can I see your right hand? God bless you. Stand up with me. Don't be a partner in crime with the devil. Let's be partners in salvation with God by pointing people to the truth. As Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15, or 1:16, in so doing, thou shalt both serve, save thyself and them that hear thee. Let's be instruments to save people. Let's be partners in salvation, not partners in crime. The devil, the papal system, the United States. Three partners in crime. God will come and destroy all three along with those who have chosen to show allegiance to that false system. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that there's an experience in the life of Christ where he said something so hard, most of the disciples left. And I don't know what the response is, what I've said, dear God, but I had to say it. But I pray that your Spirit of truth will arrest someone's attention and cause that person to stop and think and go back and study for himself or for herself, and not just be swept along by feeling and by what is popular. Father in heaven, we're dealing with eternal destinies, dear God, and Christ is soon to come. Conditions in this world will change so dramatically that those of us unprepared will not be able to stand. Day by day, Father, let us cling to thus saith the Lord. Let us cling to that cross. Let us cling to Christ. Let us live in obedience to your law by the power of Jesus Christ. For that man, that woman who heard and who's troubled, send your Spirit, Father, in greater force to to give the person the comfort that all will be well if he or she accepts the truth. Take us home safely, dear God. We yearn for that new world, dear Father. We yearn for that world without sin and suffering and disease and death and war and natural disasters. We yearn for that world. Come quickly, dear God, and take us home. Until then, let us represent you aright. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. Drive safely. We'll see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.